I'm Andrew Green, and this is the Thursday edition of Flick Pick, the edition of the show where Jacob Holmes and I talk about the new movies coming out any given weekend at the cinema. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so things are a bit slower this week at our theater here in Benton Harbor. We have, you could maybe say we have two, but it's kind of more like one, depending on how you want to approach it.
No,
but
it's two. The other one's a real movie.
But it's not a full release necessarily, right?
No, it's a special circumstance. Well, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that later, but let's start with the main new movie that's playing this weekend at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor. It is Glass.
Right, I would say this is the first major release of the year.
Yeah, I would agree. This is an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Right, this is the sequel to both Split, his last film, mm-hmm. and which itself was a hidden sequel to Unbreakable, his I think it was his second or his third. It was one of his earlier movies.
Right, I thought it was his first film.
No, Sixth Sense was the one that made him really popular, and then Unbreakable was like 2000.
Okay. Well, let's pull up the IMDb here just to make sure we're...
Well, anyway, Glass is the third movie in the trilogy that Shyamalan created with these two movies.
Okay.
And so this brings together the characters from Unbreakable, mainly Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson, mm-hmm. reprising their roles from that movie. If you remember Split, Bruce Willis actually did cameo as his character at the very, very end.
Right.
That was the twist, was that it was a sequel to Unbreakable.
Right.
And then James McAvoy is back from Split, reprising his role, his character from that movie. The man who suffers from multiple personality disorder has in Split, he had 23 personalities.
I think.
And it was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, in this movie, it's implied that he has even more inside of him.
He becomes, in a sense, is just like a beast, kind of. You see.
Well, that's his most dangerous, inhuman personality.
Right, where he takes on the attributes of like an animal. He can climb on walls and stuff.
He's like super strong and
right.
Yeah, bad
right.
news.
So just to clarify on Shyamalan's credits here, Sixth Sense was 1999.
All right.
And you're right. Unbreakable came the year after that, 2000. So I was mistaken there. For some reason, I thought Unbreakable came out first. Anyway, so in Unbreakable, Bruce Willis realizes that he's a superhero, essentially.
He has special powers, right? He's like pretty much invulnerable. He can't get sick. He's bulletproof. He's strong.
Right. And that movie is a lot of that. It's been a long time since I saw it, but in that movie, it takes a long time for him to sort of figure that out, and he's testing his abilities, and then, you know, he can
touch people and see, what is it, like their paths or like the inside their heads or like all the things that they've done or something.
I don't remember that part of it, actually.
Well, that's how the twist ending of that movie comes about. Spoilers for Unbreakable. He shakes Samuel L. Jackson's character's hand and finds out that Samuel L. Jackson was the mastermind behind everything that happened in that movie.
Right. Samuel L. Jackson is, he's got a disorder in the movie where his bones will break very easily.
Pretty much the opposite of Bruce Willis.
Right. So Samuel L. Jackson is back in this new Glass film.
Well, and that title comes from Jackson's character's name.
Mr. Glass.
Well, that's what he calls himself. It's not his real name, but...
Right.
And
right.
he's in Unbreakable, he ran a comic book store, and he was obsessed with superheroes and all that.
Right. So, and then, of course, we pick up at the timeline that was created with...
Split.
With Split, with James McAvoy being the guy with multiple personalities who kidnapped a girl. And now this movie looks like it starts out, they're all in a mental home together, it looks like.
I don't think it starts out that way, but they all end up there. Samuel L. Jackson, Mr. Glass, I think he's been there for a long time because that's how, Unbreakable ended.
Right.
And James McAvoy and Bruce Willis end up there after getting in a little tussle.
Okay. Okay. So, this is a sequel. It's kind of strange how this sequel came about. It's a sequel to something that was a surprise sequel
right.
to something from quite a long time ago.
Yeah, it had been like 17 years between movies at that point.
Is there buzz for Glass?
Well, it was very much anticipated. The critic reviews have not been very kind to Glass.
And, oh no!
After the positive reception of Split and his Shyamalan's movie before that, The Visit, people thought, oh, M. Night Shyamalan's back. He's not making bad movies anymore. We might have spoken too soon on the Shyamalan Renaissance, the Shyamalanissance, if you will.
Well, that's a shame, you know. I like M. Night Shyamalan.
He's made some good movies, and he's a very talented person. It's just he had a real string of stinkers there for a while, though.
Right. You know, I stuck with him. I liked The Village, and The Village is the one where a lot of people started to say...
That was the one that people started to kind of turn against him.
Right, but I didn't. I loved that movie. And then next was The Happening, right?
Or Lady in the Water
was the next
that
one.
That was bad.
That was a giant mess.
That one's hard to defend.
Right, and obviously The Happening was bad. Then he did like a... Airbender.
He did the last Airbender, and that darn near killed his career.
And if that wasn't bad enough, he did After Earth. So he was.
I blame Will Smith for part of that, though.
That may be so, but Shyamalan was definitely in a hole at that point. So then he went and he spent $5 million of his own money.
Well, he started working with Jason Blum because mm-hmm. Blumhouse makes his movies now.
Right, and he seemed to gain some humility. He spent his own money putting together The Visit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought they just made it in the typical Blumhouse low-budget style.
No, he had to contribute his own funds
to it. Wow, okay.
So he made this little found footage movie, The Visit, and it was good. You know, he started to get...
Depending on who you asked, it was kind of a mixed reception when it came out. But it was certainly his best reviewed movie in many years.
It was definitely better than The Happening. And
The Happening is fun if you watch it ironically.
It can be. So, you know, then he made Split, and that was well received for the most part. So, you know, you see Shyamalan climbing out of his hole, but now he may be falling back in.
Well, I don't know. I've seen some other reviews of this movie that are totally fine with it. Like, for example, the YouTube channel Screen Junkies, the people on there, they liked the movie.
Okay.
The main criticisms I've heard about it are its last 20 minutes, not necessarily a classic Shyamalan twist ending, but more so like the direction that the movie goes. Mm. I mean, Unbreakable is one of his most acclaimed movies, at least for fans.
Right.
A lot of fans find that think that's his best movie, and so. They obviously like have expectations about where they want the story to go based on the ideas that are presented in that movie. And it seems like Glass doesn't exactly go there. And I mean, that's kind of typical Shyamalan. He doesn't really follow your expectations.
No, he rarely does. And right now Glass is sporting a 37% on Rotten Tomatoes,
which it's not very good.
It's not a 5% either, but it's still, it's still pretty bad. You know, James McAvoy is my favorite actor, which is why I would want to see this.
And a lot of praise is going towards him. Mm-hmm. And Samuel L. Jackson, which apparently he doesn't really factor in until like the second half of the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's some disappointment that they don't utilize him as much as they could.
Okay.
It's one of those movies that you just kind of have to go in and see for yourself.
Right, and I doubt I'll see it this weekend, but I'll probably go check it out next
week. I'm going to see it this weekend. I'm finally all caught up in my Oscar movies, and we'll get to that. We'll touch on that later, but I'm finally to a point where I will go see Glass this weekend.
All right, so, but it's Glass, you know, if you're into Unbreakable, if you liked...
If you got to see how the... It's actually called like the Eastrail 177 trilogy because that's the name of the train that crashes in Unbreakable. And
okay.
It's Shyamalan speak.
Right. Well, you know, if you're a fan of Unbreakable or of Split, you know, Glass is an option.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Right. And, you know, I predict there will be a twist. The twist is Bruce Willis has been dead the entire time.
Wait, that sounds familiar.
Right. And then they're going to find out they're on a wildlife preserve, and it's actually 500 years in the future. And then they're going to find out they could have defeated the villain the entire time with simple water. But
and the thing that gave Bruce Willis, James McAvoy, and Samuel L. Jackson their abilities or their conditions was in the trees.
Yes, it's in the trees, and also there's a lady in the water. I don't know. It's Shyamalan overload.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah, she's not in it, but you know. Anyway, okay. Glass is your main option this weekend. It looks like it could be a hit or miss kind of experience.
It is the sole nationwide release.
Right. Now, we have something else that is available locally.
It's nationwide but limited. It's like in that in between those two states of release.
Right. It's a film that's got one showtime per day, is that right?
Right, and it's not even showing every day this week.
Okay, what is it?
It is Dragon Ball Super Broly, and I am so glad you're letting me talk about this.
Yeah, I don't know much about Dragon Ball.
This is the latest movie in the Dragon Ball franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Ball is, at least in the West, it's one of the most popular anime franchises. I don't know where it is on the echelons of anime in Japan, but I imagine it's up there too.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, this is the franchise. I mean, it's space aliens. It's just it's the show where people fight and scream at each other. That's what it is on a base level.
So is it just a bunch of fighting? Is it like, what's the premise?
Okay, well the premise is this takes place after the events of the latest series in the Dragon Ball franchise, Dragon Ball Super. That's where the Dragon Ball Super comes from.
Okay.
And this focuses on a character who comes from the same race of characters that the main character, Goku, comes from. He's a Saiyan. He's from an alien race known as the Saiyans, whose planet was destroyed. Basically, it's the Superman origin story.
Okay.
But, like, way more Japanese. But this Broly and a group of other people survived the destruction of their planet, and he comes in to invade Earth and kill Goku. I honestly don't know much about the basic premise of this, because it sounds like this character was already in Dragon Ball Z movies.
Okay.
But those aren't canon, as in they don't count towards the story. They're offshoots. But now everything they're making is canon. It's like the Star Wars expanded universe.
Okay.
Where Disney jettisoned all of that because it got too messy. And so that stuff doesn't count. Now everything we do from now on, this counts towards the lore. And that's what they're doing with Dragon Ball. So they're bringing back in this character who's a fan favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like they changed his backstory. It used to be that he just didn't like Goku because Goku cried next to him nonstop as a baby, and it's like, it's so stupid.
Okay.
If you watch Dragon Ball Z Abridged on YouTube, they did one of the original Broly movies, and they explain that origin, and they're like, but he's so cool, but that's so dumb.
Okay.
So they've changed things up, and basically it's a fan service movie is what this is.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, I got the Wikipedia page up.
I'm terrible at explaining things. I know you had to bring in Wikipedia.
Okay. I don't have the Wikipedia page up for this movie. I pulled up the Dragon Ball Wikipedia.
Okay.
To even know what it is. This is what it says. The series follows the adventures of the protagonist, Son Goku.
Yep, Son Goku.
From his childhood through adulthood, as he trains his martial arts and explores the world in search of the seven orbs known as the Dragon Balls.
They do that like five times a season.
And the Dragon Balls summon a wish-granting dragon when gathered. Along his journey, Goku makes several friends and battles a wide variety of villains, many of whom also seek the Dragon Balls.
That is pretty accurate.
So this is a story that's related to that.
Right. It gets kind of... when you get to the actual Dragon Ball Z and later Dragon Ball Z, it kind of gets away from that.
Okay.
It's just a bunch of people who come in and destroy Earth because they're like... Because, like, we want a piece of Goku, too. So... It's not a very deep franchise, but its fan base is loyal. It's a lot of fun if you get on board with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Dragon Ball media to consume.
And I know that the fans must be loyal because you told
me it is hard to find a seat for this.
It's sold out tomorrow. Saturday.
It's sold out tomorrow. It opened yesterday. It's sold out tonight. It's playing again on Saturday when I'm going to go see it. And when I went to get my ticket, there were only two open seats left.
Wow. I wonder if, the theater management is noticing all these full screenings and they're wondering if they should have
I don't know if they're going to add showtimes. That's up to Funimation, the distributor.
Okay.
But I have noticed that, this is probably the widest release ever for a Dragon Ball movie. Like there have been Dragon Ball movies released in theaters in North America. Like the last two, Battle of Gods and Resurrection F, were in a bunch of theaters. It was kind of like this, a limited showing, one showtime per day for several days in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, the next one came out and they put them in more theaters because they must have had a really good response. And Funimation in particular, this company that distributes a lot of anime in the West, has taken notice of that and is putting these in more and more theaters.
Okay. So it's
very much a good thing.
Right, and it's anime, it's animated film, it's got a bunch of crazy action.
And it's honestly getting good critical reviews.
Like, is it?
It's sporting an 83% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. A reviewer that you and I watch and have mentioned on the show, Chris Tuckman, reviewed it. He's a big anime fan. I got his book on anime for Christmas.
Oh.
He's a big Dragon Ball fan. He gave it one of his higher rankings.
Okay.
He was very much enjoyed this movie. So... But he did caution, like, this is, like, if you have never seen any Dragon Ball anything, you're not going to like it, because you're not going to have any idea what's going on.
Well, that would be me, but...
Yeah, you're not the audience for this.
This Dragon Ball movie is for you, and will you be there?
Yes, I will be there.
Did you,
I got one of the two remaining seats for Saturday night.
Are you in, like, the very front row?
No, I'm in the very back.
Oh, that's
better. But the other seat was in the very front.
Yeah,
the
very back is better than the very front. All right, so there's a Dragon Ball movie with one screening per day, and what day is it not showing, you said?
It's not showing on Friday, it's not showing on Sunday.
Okay. All right, well, it's the Dragon Ball movie, that's your other option this weekend at our local
cinema. If you can find a seat.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm not sure, could you say it's an option if it's all sold out?
But it's for there. The week, it's pretty booked solid for the weekend, but it's playing throughout the week as well.
Okay, so you got that option. So, I mean, if you had to pick either Glass or the Dragon Ball movie,
I'm thinking Dragon Ball is going to be more satisfying to me. I'm anticipating that anyway, but right. I think for the new releases this week, I think the general public would be Glass. If you want to see it, where the Unbreakable series goes.
All right. So, you know, obviously I would pick Glass just because I'm not a Dragon
right.
Ball guy. Yeah, so, you know, it'd be interesting if somehow Dragon Ball, like, beats Glass at the box office.
I'm very curious to see what the box office numbers for Dragon Ball come out to be with the release it's got. I wouldn't be surprised.
Does it have one showtime a day in all the other theaters?
I think so.
I'm gonna find out.
I would not be surprised if it cracks into the top 10 at the box office, because of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, great. Well, that's your options this weekend. Now, looking at other stuff that's playing, and we'll also get into what each of us have seen since the last podcast. Playing this weekend in our theater is A Dog's Way Home.
Which I finally got the trailer. So that was like the follow-up to A Dog's Purpose. But then when I saw Green Book, finally saw it, and right. they had the trailer for the actual sequel to A Dog's Purpose, A Dog's Journey.
Okay.
So I'm just like... Okay, how many dog movies from this guy are we getting this year?
Well, you know, there's one successful dog movie. There's going to be another one. And so that's A Dog's Way Home is an option this weekend. Neither of us saw it. You know, the reaction to it hasn't been that bad, though.
Hasn't been that bad. It finally dipped into the rotten territory in Rotten Tomatoes, but it's it didn't get the bashing that I thought it would.
Right. I hear it's just kind of there.
Yeah, it's just a... It's a dog movie that was made to make a dog look cute and tug at your heartstrings and manipulate dog lovers.
Right. The only reason I would see it would be to support Bryce Dallas Howard, but no. Another option is Aquaman. We've both seen that. You liked
yes.
it more than I did.
Yeah, I did. I did. It's like my number three
okay.
DC movie. Oh, no. Number two DC movie.
Yeah, I just thought it was too long, but it was okay. It's an option.
See, I didn't feel the length.
All right. Also playing is Bumblebee. We both liked that.
Yes,
right?
I liked it, but it made me realize that I will never really be on board for the Transformers movies
mm-hmm.
just because of the circumstances of my having not being a part of my childhood.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I mean, it was a part of my childhood, but
I respect it a lot.
I've never been into the movies, but I still enjoyed Bumblebee. It was a good film. There's Escape Room still going. That's the psychological thriller about people trapped in a...
Or the PG-13 Saw.
Right. They're trapped in a murderous escape room. The reaction to it's been bland. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Glass is opening up, of course. You saw Green Book, which is still
yes,
playing.
Yes, I finally saw Green Book. I thought it was fine.
Mm-hmm. Just fine?
Yeah, just fine. The performances were really, really good, but it's... I get where the criticisms of it are coming from.
Yeah, I can get that.
That's
too.
All I will say about that.
Right. I thought it was an enjoyable film, but I get it. It's a little
But now you and I both agreed that the ending of the movie kind of apes off of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah, it turns into Planes, Trains, and Automobiles at the very end. Only it doesn't turn out that Marshall Ali's character was lying about having a wife and all this stuff. But,
No,
but yeah, it ends the same way. They're trying to get home. Anyway.
Get home for a holiday.
Yes. Green Book is still playing, and it's worth checking out, I would say.
Yeah.
Also playing is the one you saw this past weekend, If Beale Street Could Talk.
Yes, I enjoyed that immensely. That was my favorite of the movies that I saw this past this past week.
Great.
I thought it was very well acted. It was very well written. I want to read the book now. Mm. And I have a friend who is reading the book before they see the movie, and they say it's a short read, and I'm looking forward to reading it. I think it will win the best adapted screenplay.
Oh, yeah.
Award.
What about, do you think it's deserving of a Best Picture
nomination? Well, it'll definitely get a Best Picture nod, but also Regina King, I think she will take home the Best Supporting Actress Award. She deserves it. She's phenomenal in this movie. It's a really, really good movie. And also, there are some other stars in this movie that are like, oh, hey, you're in this movie too. Like Dave Franco is in this movie for a scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he is. He plays like a landlord that they're looking for an apartment.
What does he do? Like turn him away or something?
No. He's just showing him around, and he's a good guy. He's just there.
Dave Franco.
It's just Dave Franco.
This is the story of a woman who is pregnant and her boyfriend is in jail and
on a false charge. Yeah.
Does she try to exonerate him?
She just tries to. Yeah. Her family is trying to do their best to build their case against him. And I won't say how it ends, okay. But it might not make you very happy.
Oh no. Well, but you did enjoy the film.
Yes, I did. I did enjoy the film. The villain from Deadpool 1 is the racist cop that sets him up.
Oh, okay.
There's some other, name in there that I can't remember off the top of my head, but, I highly recommend, If Beale Street Could Talk.
All right. Well, last week during the podcast, I said I'd be seeing it that weekend, but I ended up missing it. I'll see If Beale Street Could Talk this weekend. It's definitely okay. My priority.
Yeah, you will enjoy this movie. Oh, Diego Luna, that was the other one. He was in one of the Star Wars movies.
Okay. So that's it's a good movie. It's got 4 showtimes. It's worth checking out, definitely. Also playing is Mary Poppins Returns, which you said was okay.
Again, like Green Brook, it's like, it's fine.
All right. Another option is Mary, Queen of Scots, which is down to 1 showtime. I saw that, and I thought it was just okay.
It was fine.
Yeah.
A lot of fine movies out right now.
Yeah, it's just kind of meh. Also playing is On the Basis of Sex. This is what I saw this past
weekend.
Okay,
so you did end up seeing it.
Yes, this is the movie about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Tomorrow's Flick Pick review is about it. It's an enjoyable film. It's a crowd-pleasing film. It's a little, basic.
Hollywoodized.
Yeah, a little hokey, a little schmaltzy. But not so bad that it should have been a TV movie or something,
Right, and apparently got Ruth Bader Ginsburg's approval because it's my understanding she actually does make an appearance at the end of the movie.
Very end of the film, she shows her walking up these steps of the Supreme Court, and she looks into the camera. So, Felicity Jones,
yeah.
Is that her name? Yeah, she's very good as Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I would expect so. I like Felicity Jones a lot.
Oh, yeah. Armie Hammer's great. It's got a good cast. It's an enjoyable feel-good
film. If I wasn't seeing Dragon Ball and Glass this weekend, I would think about going to see this.
Yeah, it'll make you smile. It's not groundbreaking or anything, but it's a solid feel-good movie. I enjoyed it. So that's On the Basis of Sex playing this weekend. Ralph Breaks the Internet still has a showtime.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Replicas with Keanu Reeves is going. It has 1 showtime left.
You know what? Today, the day we're recording this, the trailer for John Wick Chapter 3 dropped.
Okay.
And it's just like, okay, we got a good Keanu Reeves movie to look forward to.
Yeah, Replicas kind of landed with a giant thud. It has 1
showtime. I don't think that's going to surprise anybody.
No. And it has 1 showtime, which is at 10 p.m.
Oh my gosh!
So if you want to get out, if you want to get out like after midnight,
ooch,
yeah.
Is it even that long?
I don't know. 1 hour 45 minutes.
Doesn't seem like a. It seems like a movie that they would at least have the decency to make less than 2 hours.
Yeah. Well, at least they did. Also playing Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which you loved.
Yes, I loved. I even gave a recommendation of it to one Matt Malone today.
Oh yeah.
They were talking about the soundtrack to it.
Okay. Great, that's an option. The Mule still has three showtimes. That's hanging on.
All right.
It's funny because I decided I would just skip that, and it's like it's not.
I kind of decided to skip that too, and I think I still will. But yeah, I am surprised that it's still holding on like that.
Yeah, if it sticks around for like three more weeks, maybe. And then finally available is The Upside, the Kevin Hart, Bryan Cranston film that opened at number one.
Yeah, I'm still not going to see it.
Right.
But yeah, you know, good for them. We were wrong about Kevin Hart's recent controversies hurting that movie.
Yeah, I wonder if it would have done even better if not for the controversy. I don't know, but it's done well.
It sounds like it wouldn't have. It wouldn't have made much of a difference.
Okay. So it's The Upside. They're pals and they learn about life and all that. It is still available, and no longer available this weekend will be Vice, but you finally saw it.
Yes, I did. I managed to catch that before. Today is the last day that it's in our theaters, and I managed to see that Tuesday night, mm-hmm. And you know what? I was strangely not into it.
Yeah?
I thought Christian Bale and Amy Adams were fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I liked Steve Carell as Donald Rumsfeld. I thought it was well-acted and everything. I just did not think that the style that Adam McKay gave to the movie, the same approach that he did with The Big Short, which worked for that movie,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it worked for the story he was telling here. And that, and when the whole movie's like that, it's just like, yeah, I was kind of not on board the entire way through.
Right. I see where you're coming from. I enjoyed Vice more than you. I liked it a lot. But is it because, you know, the subject matter is so serious?
Here's the other thing too. I have a lot of friends who saw this movie, and they're older than me, much older than me, and they liked it, but they said like you, it made them angry.
Yeah, that's what
because
did
of the because they were not fans of the Bush administration. It made me realize that I think I might have just been too young to really give a crap about what was going on during those years.
Because
that was elementary and middle school for me.
Okay, well, I was in college and...
So you were like, yeah, I didn't start paying attention to politics until the Obama administration, so...
Right, and I remember distinctly when like the war in Iraq was getting started. It was like the entire...
Well, I remember that too, but I wasn't paying attention. I didn't know what was like going on behind the scenes. I just knew it was happening.
What was happening was the entire country was losing its mind and I was sitting there...
Well, not much has changed. 10-year challenge, country losing its mind then, country losing its mind now.
That's true, but they depict it comedically kind of in Vice, and I can see why somebody would not like the film because of that, you know?
Right.
But at the same time, to me, it makes it a little more
palatable. But it wasn't because I didn't like the subject matter, I just didn't think the style of filmmaking fit the story.
Right.
I didn't like the framing device with Jesse Plemons, even though I love Jesse Plemons as an actor. I thought he was totally unnecessary to this story. And then there were just other things too, like early in the movie when Chaney is interning for Donald Rumsfeld, and he just asks Rumsfeld what they believe as like the Republican Party, and Rumsfeld just like laughs him off. And I'm like, okay, do you have anything more to say about that? Because I've kind of heard that joke for a long time. And then the scene ends, and I'm just like, okay, no, cool. All right, cool. The whole movie's like that.
I actually, regarding what you just pointed out, I had that same thought. Like, he's asked, what do we believe? And Rumsfeld doesn't answer. And I was like, tell us what you do believe. Is it anything, or are you saying nothing?
Well, I got the point that he was implying that they don't believe in anything. Like, I get it, but like, do you have anything to add on to that? This thing that we've been hearing for a long time now. But anyway, yeah, that's, I just thought it wasn't as good as it could have been. It was a bit of a disappointment for me.
I still enjoyed Vice. I would recommend checking it out, but I see where you're coming from.
It's worth watching once for Christian Bale and Amy Adams' performances.
Without a doubt, we'll be seeing Christian Bale. I hope.
I think he's going to win the Best Actor Oscar for it, which, you know what, I'm okay with that.
So am I. I can easily see that. I mean, who else would even be a contender this year? Can you think? I'm thinking.
I know there are some. I just can't think of any off the top of my head. Would Mahershala Ali, would he be a supporting actor for Green Book? Because he was really good in that.
They keep nominating him for supporting. At least they did at the Golden
and that's
Globes.
Weird because he's in like the whole movie.
I know. He and
Viggo Mortensen.
They're equally in the film.
But Viggo Mortensen gets nominated for Best Actor.
Which doesn't seem quite right, but...
Well, I thought he was good too, but it was like it was kind of a stereotypical Italiano voice.
Right.
But I mean he was good. I like Viggo Mortensen. I'm glad to see him in stuff like that and bigger movies like this, getting some more attention after Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in anything since The Road, I think.
Oh yeah, ooh, that's a movie.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all the we're just about to hit a half hour mark here, so
we like to go off on tangents here.
Why not? It's a podcast. Is there anything else you want to add?
No, I'm excited to see Dragon Ball Super.
I'm excited. Good for you. You have a fine time with your anime, your fellow anime fans.
You know what? That's all. It's going to be. I'm anticipating a good theater experience because when you see something like that with fellow fans, it's always a lot of fun because they get really into it and you get really into it, and it just really adds to the enjoyment. So I like whenever I do get the opportunity to see an anime movie in theaters and there is a crowd there, it's always great.
Are there a lot of people carrying like portable game consoles with them and stuff?
No, stop perpetuating stereotypes.
Okay.
We don't all do that.
Well, I do.
There's a cool bunch of people and they're very loyal. So.
All right. Well, that's Dragon Ball Z. You have a good time at it this week.
I will. I'm very excited.
And I'm looking forward to seeing if Beale Street could
talk.
Yeah,
it's a great movie.
Great. Well, that does it for the Thursday edition of Flick Pick. I'll be back tomorrow with a review of On the Basis of Sex.